This is Lega Football.
Ecco mi io with David Farini, Italian football commentator. Let's review the weekend's action in Italy as Sampdoria is finally victorious. We hear from legends Boban and Zola, and Franck Ribéry says goodbye to calcio. Andiamo! Three of the top six lose in Serie A as Juve wins two on the trot now. Milan demolishes Monza to continue their superb title defence. Controversy in Florence as that Mkhitaryan goal sinks Fiorentina. A relegation battle to remember between Cremonese and Samp. While Osimhen shows his masterclass for Napoli, Luciano Spalletti working wonders, but so is Maurizio Sarri in the capital, blistering, scintillating Calcio across the peninsula over the weekend and Monday evening with stunning goals from Lautaro Martinez, Filippo Ranocchia and Victor Osimhen. Salernitana with a valuable win to climb into the top half of the standings. We'll also touch on the penalty situation in Serie A at the moment. Zvonimir Boban opines about how Italy can return to European domination at club level with some choice words as well about his former side Milan. Gianfranco Zola talks about his experience winning the Scudetto in Naples. And Franck Ribéry says arrivederci not just to Calcio but to football in general. A teary farewell for the Frenchman saying goodbye to fans in Salerno at the Stadio Arechi on the weekend. FR7 was applauded by the entire stadium and had this to say on social media. For me, football is passion, fun, sacrifice, dedication. Football is my life. I'm happy about every person I've met on my journey. Proud of every club whose shirt I've worn. Happy about every single goal, every assist, every dribble, every tackle, and every title. For the fans, you motivated me, you pushed me, and you showed me love. I miss it already. The ball, the pitch, the stadiums, you fans. And yet I know that I will always be close to it all, also in the future. Football and me, that simply belongs together and always will. A career that spanned 22 years, which began back in 2000 and consisted of 25 pieces of silverware for Galatasaray, Marseille and Bayern Munich, including 9 Bundesliga titles and the 2012-13 UEFA Champions League. He was a FIFA World Cup finalist and runner-up under Zinedine Zidane against Fabio Cannavaro's Italy in 2006. And retired from international football in 2014. He was the French Player of the Year 3 times, UEFA Team of the Year twice, 3rd place in the Ballon d'Or in 2013, and a lot of people thought he deserved that one over Ronaldo and Messi. He was the Fiorentina Player of the Season in 2019-20 when he joined, and Serie A Player of the Month in September of that year. He ends his career after helping Salernitana to salvation in 2021-22. He played 24 times overall for the Granata, including one match this season against Roma, and will be remembered fondly also at Fiorentina, where he netted 5 times. He scored twice against Milan for the Viola, playing over 50 matches there. Calcio fans, we're blessed to have you, Franck. Thank you for your final seasons here in Italy. Ti salutiamo in bocca al lupo. That is Franck Ribéry.
This is Lega Football.
Okay, time for some Serie A results. What a weekend it was. It all kicked off on Friday night with Juventus and Empoli. The Bianconeri winning 4-0. That's 2 in a row now under Max Allegri. So that should buy him some time, you would think, with the fans and pundits alike. Moise Keane, Weston McKennie and a brace for Adrian Rabiot got the deal done. Not to say that Empoli didn't have their own opportunities in this game. It was 12 shots for them, 21 for Juventus. Juventus now up into 8th spot. Empoli fall down to 12th. Pasquale Mazzocchi won it for Salernitana on Saturday afternoon against Spezia. A screamer of a goal. I recommend to go over to the Serie A YouTube channel and check out all the highlights. With that result, Salernitana now in 10th position. That's 2 wins in their last 3. Spezia now winless in their last 4. Spezia now winless in their last 4. They've lost their 6th game of the season. Saturday afternoon also saw Milan put 4 past Monza, but what a goal, the goal of the game from Filippo Ranocchia. Free kick on his right boot from long range, but it all started with Brahim Diaz. He scored a brace to bring Milan out to a 2-0 lead in the first half. Divock Origi with a 65th minute goal. Ranocchia then cut it back in the 70th minute to 3-1. Raphael in the 84th minute helped ensure that Milan would go level with Napoli at least overnight. They're in 2nd position on 26 points and they've gone above Atalanta with this result. As for Monza, after a good run under Paladino, they've now lost their last 2 in a row. That's their 7th loss of the season and they sit in 15th place. All the talk was around Fiorentina Inter. The Twitterati were hot on this one as Nicolò Barella opened the scoring in the second minute. What a start it was. A frantic game from the beginning right to the end in the 95th minute. After Barella's opener, Lautaro Martinez made it 2-0 in the 15th minute. Arthur Cabral scored from the spot to peg it back to 2-1. Jonathan Icornet made it 2-2 in the 60th. Then Lautaro from the spot in the 73rd brought it back out to 3-2. It looked as though the points would be shared when Luka Jovic turned in the 90th minute. But high drama, lots of arguing between the households around the peninsula as Henrik Mkhitaryan was able to get the ball into the back of the net from a Venuti clearance that went into the Armenian in the 95th minute. Some controversy over the lead up to the goal. I'm sure you've read all about it, so we won't dwell on that too much. But with this result, Inter gets its third consecutive win, the seventh of the season, still yet to draw a match. They have been leaky at the back, conceding 17, scoring 22 to have the fourth best attack, but the worst defense of any team in the top 10. Inter's victory over Fiorentina extended their without a draw streak to 20 Serie A matches, the longest such record in Italy's top flight, and sees the Nerazzurri hit that tally for the very first time since January 1941. They've now gone 11 matches against the Viola without a defeat. That's 6 wins and 5 draws, having lost 5 of their previous 6 in the competition beforehand. A match that saw 93 minutes and 20 seconds of play elapse between Barella's opening goal and Mkhitaryan's winner. Perhaps a useless piece of information is Lautaro Martinez is now the only player who has scored at least 3 goals with both his right and left foot in Serie A this season, with 2 goals scored in his first 10 Serie A appearances this season. Jonathan Icone has already equaled the amount of league goals netted throughout the whole of last season. That was 2 in 35 games. That was across both the Italian and French first divisions. And Barella is one of 3 midfielders to have both scored at least 4 goals and delivered at least 4 assists in the big 5 European leagues this season, alongside Bukayo Saka and Florian Kainz. Next up, Inter will look to take a stride towards the Champions League knockout stages when they take on Victoria Pilsen. Fiorentina will host Istanbul Büyükşehir in the UEFA Conference League. If Juve fans think they've got it bad, the old ladies only conceded 7 goals. That's 10 less than Inter. Inter's defense equal with Bologna here and is only worse than Monza, Spezia, Verona, Sampdoria and Cremonese. That's right, I didn't mention Lecce, who have only conceded 14. Well, on the opening day, Udinese went down to Milan. They hadn't lost since, and they'd been in the top 4 for the majority of this season. They now slipped down a couple of notches after losing at the Dacia Arena to Torino. Ola Aina in the 14th minute opened for the Granata. Then Deulofeu equalized in the 26th minute from a defensive error. Pietro Pellegri scored in the 69th. Torino win at 2-1. They surge into the top half. That's Udinese's first loss in 9 competitive games. And that's Torino's first win in 6. They've only managed 1 draw in their previous 5. So Ivan Juric able to turn the pressure cooker down just a little bit. Udinese now winless in their last 3. And they're in 6th place on 21 points, joint with Inter. Well, Bologna are trying to slowly arm wrestle their way out of trouble. They've beaten Lecce 2-0, and that's their second positive result in the last 3. Only their second win of the season to take them up to 10 points in 13th place, while Lecce remains in 17th. They're winless in 4. Marko Arnautovic is the outright leading scorer in Serie A with a 13th minute penalty. Lewis Ferguson, the Scotsman, in the 34th minute, double the lead. That was enough as Bologna were able to stave off the Salentini. Saturday night, Lazio continue their sublime form with a 2-0 away in Bergamo against Atalanta. Mattia Zaccagni in the 10th minute, Felipe Anderson in the 52nd, ensured that the 3 points would be going back to Rome. Atalanta without a shot on target all game. Maurizio Sarri's men playing some really attractive football. Lazio have only lost 1 game this season domestically. They've now won 4 of their last 5 in Serie A. They've now won 5 of their last 6. They have leaped over Roma and also Udinese. And with this result, they also go level with Atalanta, but above them because they've beaten them in the head-to-head. Atalanta were joint leaders with Napoli just a couple of weeks ago, and they have finally succumbed this season. That is their first loss of the campaign, a harsh result which sees them drop down to 4th spot, but they've only conceded 8 goals. But Gasperini's done a really good job with his new-look squad. The big game on Sunday night was at the Olimpico between Roma and Napoli. It was Victor with a magical volley to win it for the Partenopei. It sees them remain at the top of the mountain. Milan had joined them on 26 points overnight, but Napoli and Spalletti with a big win. Spalletti defeating his former side, finally getting one over Jose Mourinho. Napoli to 29 points. And Jose Mourinho winning the Moscone moment of the week.
Una cortesia, simpatia, porco Dio, vai casino. Vaffanculo.
Not just for the reaction during the game when Napoli was awarded a penalty, but also post-game for his behaviour and comments about the referees. Victor Osimhen now with three goals in his first three games back, one of those in the Champions League, two of them proving to be winners in the Italian top flight to keep his side at the very top. A right foot screamer to beat Rui Patricio from an angle. It'll take more than the likes of Chris Smalling to outmuscle Victor Osimhen. Cremonese and Sampdoria met in a relegation six-pointer on Monday evening. And despite Cremonese's best intentions to score a goal with 21 shots, four of them on target, Sampdoria managed to get the winner with just eight shots and four of them on target. So we've got to play it. This is the Sampdoria theme song. It's their first win of the season. Here we go. Perhaps not pumped that much, but still, it's a win, and it's a win against a direct rival in the race for survival. Omar Colley turning home a Gabbiadini header, which sees Sampdoria leap over Le Tigre. Bluciacanti going into 19th place with 6 points. Cremonese are now rooted to the bottom with just 4 points, yet to get their first win back in the top division since 1996. In the final game on match day 11 in Serie A, Sassuolo edged out Verona coming from behind to win 2-1 at the Mappe Stadium. Cecchettini scoring in just the second minute for Hellas before Lauriente equalised in the 32nd. Fratesi finished off Hellas in the 74th minute. A big result for Sassuolo, who now win their first game in their past three. They've lost to Inter and Atalanta recently. The win sees them up into 9th. Verona are down in 19th. Salvatore Bocchetti, their new coach, who's taken over from Gabriele Cioffi just a couple of weeks ago. Poor old Bocchetti's had to play Milan first up and then Sassuolo away. The loss actually elevated Sampdoria up to 18th spot, so even better news for Doria. This comes on the back of reports that Verona president Maurizio Sarri has decided to sell his majority shares. You could see the signs coming in the summer with the exodus of players, the sales of quality like Barak and Simeone. Sarri looking to sell his shares in the Gialloblu for more than 100 million euros and is keen to get things across the line before the World Cup. We also saw Cancellieri and Caprari depart in the summer. So Sarri looking to exit Verona. And just on the subject of the city of Verona, make sure you scroll down after you listen to this pod and listen to our special guest, Andy Wallace. We had a chat with him about a month ago about the Verona saga between Chievo Verona former owner and legend player, both trying to restart Chievo and bring them back up into Serie A. Meanwhile, Zvonimir Boban has come out to comment on the impending Champions League clash between Milan and Dinamo Zagreb. They're his two former sides. He says that Milan have to invest to get back to the top. There's an article on Football Italia by Apollo Hayes. It talks about the former Milan managing director. And he also gave his thoughts on the title race with Milan up against Napoli at this point of the season. But just getting started on the Champions League, he says that Milan can win in Zagreb. The quality is on the Rossoneri side. Dinamo are tough. He goes on to say that it won't be an easy match for him either, as they are his two teams, the two teams of his life, 10 years in Zagreb and 10 years in Milan. He then commented on what the Rossoneri need to do to stay on top in Italy. He says, in Milan, there are players who are worth the Champions League and there are roles to strengthen. It depends on the ambitions of this club, on how much they want to invest to get to the top. You have to think big, he goes on to say, otherwise it's difficult for Milan to return to what they once were. The former midfielder also spoke about the lack of emerging talents in Italian football. I quote here, after Andrea Pirlo, Italy no longer had a great talent. 20 years have passed and Italian talent in the youth systems and creativity has been killed. It'll take 10 to 15 years for Italy to return to the top and approach the level of England. These years must be spent working hard and rebuilding these stadiums, which are now unavoidable. Boban then discussed the Serie A title race this season. He says, Napoli seem mature. They have an extraordinary atmosphere and they play extraordinary football. Defensively, they solve things well. Milan have great character. And against Napoli, they played better. He even commented on Inter and their uptick in form following the slow start to their season. He says history and greatness count, but I'd say that Inter could also come back if Lukaku returns to what he was two seasons ago. Anything can happen. He also gave some credit to Maurizio Sarri and Lazio, who picked up a big win over Atalanta. He says the more that Sarri is at a team, the better he makes them play. It's nice to see Lazio like that and Sarri like that as well. They're dangerous, but I don't think they can fight for the Scudetto. So there we have it, Zvonimir Boban's thoughts about Serie A, the Champions League, and the future of Italian football. And for those of you who need a refresher, Boban played in Milan from 1991 to 2001 with 21 goals in 178 appearances in Serie A football. He's also a former Bari player, as we've mentioned on the Gentleman Ultra podcast, the Bari Best 11 of the 90s. For those of you who haven't listened to that, do go over to the TGU platforms and see if you can find that one. You might have to scroll down just a little bit. Gianfranco Zola opened up about the current Napoli team compared to his team from 1990. This is taken from an interview on the Serie A YouTube channel. He says, it's very difficult to describe the feeling of winning the league in a place like Napoli. The people are unique and they deserve the title this year, he's referring to. He said he's been reading English articles and they've been speaking highly of Napoli. He thinks the club and the manager have to be congratulated because they've done such a fantastic job. They've changed important players and built a team that looks even stronger than before, he says. So the full Zola interview available on that Serie A YouTube channel. Gianfranco Zola was a member of the 1989-1990 Napoli side that was victorious. They won their second Scudetto, Zola scoring two goals in that season. It was his breakout season in terms of becoming a more professional player after finally leaving Sardinia. We all saw what became of him as he moved on to Parma and then to the Premier League before returning to Cagliari. But his only Scudetto coming in Naples in his very first season in Serie A. And we were there recently in the city of Napoli to take a tour of the Spanish Quarter, the Quartieri Spagnoli, to take it all in, all the murals of when Maradona led them to glory. Here's part one.
Ho visto Maradona.
A Maradona pilgrimage for fanboys requires a patient tour guide. This is Alessandro, a local Neapolitan.
Do you think that the locals here might think that we're tourists, considering Andrea is also dressed up in the Napoli jersey as well? Yeah, do you think we look touristic?
No, I don't think so.
What do you think we look like locals here in
Napoli? Actually, Emmet, he looks Napolitan.
What do you think, Alessandro? Be nice.
No, tourist.
Siamo locali.
Yeah. You're a Napolitano.
Off we go to Spaccanapoli, where Diego Armando Maradona is omnipresent. El Diaz himself watches over us while we have a coffee at Barnilo. These are strands of the late Diego's hair, allegedly encased upon a Diego altar where tens of thousands of visiting fans get their selfie fix. Now it's time to hit the back streets of the Quartieri Spagnoli for some street art. Maradona lived rent-free in the minds of his opponents and continues to do so here in Naples, both on the streets and in places of business, just like Carmine's workshop.
This mechanic's kind enough to let us take a look at his collection here. What have we got? We've got this action one back at Barcelona. He's got a special one he's bringing out here. Look at this. Come ti chiami?
What is your name?
Carmine, grazie.
Honored for the gifts he delivered over three decades ago, this wall is a prime example of just how much Maradona means to the people of Naples, as Carmine takes us through the glory days. This one's from 1987. He'd returned from winning the World Cup. Is this a photo of Rudy Kroll?
Rudy Kroll as well.
Hairdressers, butchers, and artists and randoms on the streets of Napoli. Keep with us as we continue our ascent up to the Murales Maradona in part two. Oh yes, Emmett, Andrea and Alessandro joining me on that Maradona Murales tour in the Spanish Quarter. That was on the very same day that Napoli played Ajax. We ended up going to that game. We will release some of that footage in the coming days and weeks. I've been flat out with a few different games and a few different leagues, so bear with me while we go through all of our content. If you want to see that video, you can head to our Lega Football Twitter profile. It is right there. Should be pinned to the top. Part two coming out sometime this week. Maybe we'll get it out in time for tomorrow's game with Napoli hosting Rangers. Let's take a look at the Serie A top scorers. Marco Arnautovic at the summit there with 7 goals for Bologna. The injured Ciro Immobile will remain on 6 until the new year. He has 3 assists as well. Lautaro Martinez with the brace against Fiorentina goes up to 6 goals. Dusan Vlahovic is with him on 6. Rafa Leao on 5, as is Kvaratskhelia for Napoli. And Paulo Dybala for Roma. And Beto for Udinese, and plenty more on 4 goals, including Victor Osimhen, back to his best with 2 goals in the last 2 weeks. Well, while we were without Serie A and Serie B midweek, we did have the Coppa Italia, so we'll go through a few of those results. It was Genoa who beat Spal 1-0, Torino easily accounted for Cittadella 4-0, Spezia 3, Brescia 1, Parma 1, Bari 0, Udinese lost at home to Monza, 3-2. I recommend to go out and check the Petagna goal in that one. Cremonese 4, Modena 2, Sampdoria. They ended up winning on penalties over Ascoli after it ended 2-2 after extra time. Bologna 1, Cagliari 0. So the next round of games will see Inter, who host Parma, Milan against Torino, Fiorentina, Sampdoria, Roma, Genoa, Atalanta, Spezia, Napoli, Cremonese. Lazio will play Bologna and Juventus will take on Monza. Those are the round of 16 Coppa Italia games that will take place in January. Well, that's all we've got time for in this week's Lega Football podcast. I promise that we'll get into Serie B and Lega Pro Serie C next time. You can watch Italian teams in action this week. Benfica hosts Juventus in the Champions League as Milan travels to Croatia to take on Dinamo Zagreb. Wednesday's action, Napoli hosts Rangers, while Inter hosts Victoria Pilsen. On Thursday in the Europa League, it's Lazio up against Midtjylland. Roma travels to take on HJK. In the Europa Conference League, Fiorentina play the early game against Istanbul Basaksehir. Make sure you keep supporting Lega Football on Twitter, on Facebook, on YouTube. Make sure you click and subscribe, rate and review when possible. Big shout out to all the podcasters out there that continue to cover and follow Italian football, no matter what team, no matter what division. We love you. I'm David Faridi, Serie A, Serie B match commentator, and just general football commentator now and podcaster I could add to my CV. Thanks for tuning in and see you next time. Ci sentiamo.
This is Lega Football.